talk. And George brought this up because he says that he is full-blown in the throes of a midlife crisis. And
that's
he tearfully confessed some things to us this morning.
And that's stupid, too.
No, it came up because we started talking about sports cars and should a guy one time in his life own a sports car, drive a sports car, and then that kind of led us into midlife crisis talk because whenever a guy gets a sports car, if he's over the age of 30, it's seen as, oh, well, he's got a midlife crisis, clearly.
Yeah. We can discount his life now.
Yeah. When I thought you brought the great point, no. I can finally afford one. I couldn't really afford one when I was 16. My dad wouldn't buy me one. I certainly couldn't afford it in my 20s. And then I had kids, and that didn't really make sense.
Right.
So give the guy a little slack. If he wants a sports car for once in his life, why does that have to be such a negative term?
Yeah, I've always thought guys get a bad rap for the midlife crisis thing. You know, we criticize people for basically staying the exact same and never growing and never trying new things. Then if they do grow, try new things, and start, you know, hey, I'm taking up hang gliding at the age of 40. Then, midlife crisis. Oh, why can't the guy do some different things?
Yeah.
And I do think there is something to when a guy reaches middle age, which is, what, 38 now?
Something like that.
Numerical middle age.
Mm-hmm.
That, he takes stock of his life and says, okay, is this all I want out of my life? Is just to keep my head down and keep plodding like a mule on the same course. And if he tries different things, we shouldn't criticize him and make fun of him for it. We should be like, hey, good for you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I think it's seen as the guy who all of a sudden starts forgetting about his responsibilities at home and just, you know, totally goes out with the fellas and forgets all about the responsibilities that he still has as a midlife guy.
Right.
That's wrong. Now, if you start doing that and ignoring your family, then, yeah, that's another issue
right.
entirely.
But it does open up that whole can of Pandora's box. what have I said? But speaking of opening up a can of box, that's where a lot of this leads.
Right.
And because the guy wakes up after, you know, he put his head down, started a career, got married, they had kids, and he just basically is a work mule, puts his head down in the morning, travels to work, gets the same breakfast every day, works, then comes home, does the same thing, and does that, and then 20 years later, he pops his head up and says, man, is this all I want out of my life? You know?
Mule?
Yeah, the kids that yell at me, the wife who just has this laundry list of things I gotta do when I get home, and then she's got a bitch, and she gotta do all this, and he's going, is this what I want? And then, yeah, he freaks out, and it starts off with him doing activities that he normally hasn't done in the past, and then pretty soon he's having that conversation with his wife of, I just don't know if I want to be married to you anymore.
Yeah, then you got a problem that starts growing into that. But I think if the wife supports him, hey, yeah, go try that. You hadn't done that before. That's good. And
exactly.
She should encourage him to do new things like that.
Exactly. And if she doesn't support him, that's when she's running the risk of, okay, he's going to be out the door.
Yeah.
And then you and all your female relatives get around and gang up on him and talk bad about him, but he's still going to be out the door.
And we should
Is that
say,
what you want?
We should say it works both ways. Women
sure.
go through the midlife crisis
oh, yeah.
as well, and they want to try new things. And if the man has the same reaction, no, I like you the way you are, stay the way you are, then you risk her going out the door.
Because at some point, I think that both sexes are guilty of just treating the other one like an appliance.
Mm-hmm.
After a certain point, they aren't a person anymore. They're an appliance, and you want them to be to work exactly the way they always have.
The way you programmed them
yes.
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
you don't want a
the
malfunction there.
Right.
And when you start mixing in this, what's this whole soul thing? What? You're a person? You're an appliance.
Right.
You dispense food to the children. You get in the bed when I want you to.
Mm-hmm.
You get this done. That's what the guy thinks of the woman, and the woman thinks, okay, now you bring home the bacon, and you don't bitch. I run this household. You just do these things for me.
So is it a dangerous sign if the guy, like, dramatically changes his look with the sports car? Like, if he goes with the hairpiece or dramatically changes his hairstyle?
They're all warning flags. Make no mistake about that. Yeah, it could spiral out of control.
I think especially if the guy leaps into it overnight If he wakes up the next morning and he's got the hairpiece on and the convertible and the new clothing and the new girlfriend and all of that.
You've got trouble.
If you ease into it and kind of, you know, figure it out along the way, I think you're probably okay. If you dive into it like anything else, you might risk going in too quickly.
Okay, why do we bag on the guy for the hair plugs when we don't bag on the woman who gets the breast implants? Clearly just surgically altering to make themselves look better.
These look a lot better than the cheap hair plug.
Well, they're not all cheap, Giorgio.
Well, whatever they cost, I don't know. That's always not always obvious to me. You guys always know. I'm always like, really? That's a hairpiece?
I think it's because women over the years, we expect them to wear makeup, to get fixed up, to keep themselves...
To alter their appearance to look better.
Right. And men are just expected to grow old gracefully. Men are not expected to do that because...
Yeah, but most guys aren't growing old gracefully the regular way when you just watch the deterioration going on.
No. I think it's becoming a little more acceptable for guys to get plastic surgery or something like that. And probably eventually we won't blink when we see somebody with a scary face. But it's always been the woman that's been expected to try all this stuff to keep herself young. And maybe it's because the woman ages a little more quickly.
Excuse me?
What do you mean? I just think that... And we've talked about it before on the show. And maybe it's childbirthing or all of that, but the wear and tear on a female body seems to be a little quicker.
That's why at 45 we expect them to hurl a few Hail Marys there, get in the implants and come on. Do whatever you can.
All right, let's take some calls on Midlife Crisis Talk to Cheech in Fort Worth. You're on the ticket.
Hey, morning, boys.
Morning.
Hey, you know, Gordon said it right, man. I fit this exact description of being an appliance. That's how I get treated. I come home every day. You know, I work. I don't ever go out. I don't go do anything different. And basically, all I do is come home and bring home money.
You're an ATM machine, basically.
Yeah, and exactly. And at this point, you know, after raising three kids, we got one that's just about left to get into high school. You know, she's not committed to anything that's getting me to retirement. You know, she's not working for me. She doesn't help me. Man, it's a beating. It is just a complete kick in the, you know, trying to get through this by yourself, basically, and feeling like you don't have any partnership. So, to me, it doesn't have anything to do with how she looks and how she dresses or any of those kinds of things.
It's how she treats you.
Oh, she treats me fine. I mean, everything is good relationship-wise. We don't argue. We don't yell at each other. We don't have any animosities right at this second, but I'm afraid there's going to be if I don't do something about it.
So have you told her this about, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you worked to help me get towards retirement?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, matter of fact, I mean, this is sort of a thing that she has been on sliding towards since the day we got married, and you could tell, you know, and it's like, you know, look, if we're going to raise kids, have a nice house, and do all this, this is your part. Now, you know, it's just one of those things. She got laid off a couple of years ago with a nice job, but she didn't do anything in the subsequent 2 years except live off the money that she made off that. Mm. It totally blew that away, and now we've got nothing left.
It's like you got some
hang in there.
I don't want to hear you talk anymore. It makes me too upset.
So isn't the midlife crisis the subtle acknowledgement of the thing that all of us subconsciously think about daily and ultimately fear, and the thing that we have no control over, and that is death?
Yes, yeah. It's death repression.
Yeah.
And we're getting closer to death, mm-hmm. and so we want to try to put off death by looking younger or acting younger and pretending that we're back in our 20s or 30s or whatever it happens to be. And we feel like if we do that, that maybe we're keeping the Grim Reaper at an arm's length as opposed to just kind of giving in to him.
Oh, I think it's that, and I think it's also the realization, hey, if I'm ever going to do something
you got to do it now.
I got to do it now. The whole bucket
list do it
thing.
While I'm young. Yeah, that's a big part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
and again, there's nothing wrong with that because we are, I don't think we were just put on this earth to make money. You know, and
it says in the Bible we were put on this earth to make money.
Well, I think ultimately you see the money as a way to provide and to take care of other people, and that's great. But you can still, you know, experience this big old world a little bit before more than just, you know, taking
right,
that trip down 35
say?
Every day.
But a lot of people see that as, you know, communist talk there, Giorgio. That you make money and everything and all this midlife crisis, that's BS, you know. People just looking for any excuse to cut loose.
Yeah, but I think you need to just a little bit. It doesn't have to take over your life. But if you have a new way of driving to work that kind of makes you feel young again, there's nothing wrong with that. And we shouldn't... These guys... I think the message here is don't feel bad about going out and, you know, maybe getting that sports car that you've always wanted.
So you guys going to get the sports car?
I like that new Camaro.
None of us have ever had a sports
no,
car, right?
No, never have.
No, I don't know that I'll... I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to own a sports car at some point. I don't feel really compelled to now. But, no. You know, I'd like to own so many different kinds of cars. I'm kind of a car nut. I mm-hmm. like all different kinds of cars, sports cars and otherwise.
I wouldn't mind having a sports car at some point. I'm kind of like you. Yeah, I don't really want one now. I just want to reserve that right if I want to get one.
So why do we have to hand it to the guy who's going through these things, and why do we have to culturally make fun of him so much that he's wanting more out of life and wanting to experience different kinds of lives and things like that?
Because we've categorized it as desperation, and we always make fun of desperate people. And if we could just recategorize it as a normal thing that you go through, or someone who's trying to squeeze the most out of his life and maybe not stigmatize it so much, maybe we wouldn't make as much fun of him.
But we're sitting here, we're trying to make him a little two-dimensional figure in our lives, too. We like everybody just to remain exactly the same out there. And when someone makes a break for that freedom wall, then we all got to rein him back in. We got to grab him by his britches.
And that's wrong, because I guarantee you there's a guy out there, I mean, I feel this way a little bit. Well, I can't go do that, because if I do that, then they'll just say, midlife crisis.
Like what? What have you wanted to do?
Just like the sports car.
The whole cross-dressing thing?
Yeah, the cross-dressing thing, and just like the whole the sports car thing. You know, just if you have that thought. And you think, well, no. Just like I just had it 2 minutes ago thinking, nah, it's not worth it. I don't want to drive down the street and take it from the neighbor. Oh, yeah, okay. Get a little old, huh?
Right. Well, and also you're in a different circumstance because you got the entire Metroplex who's... feels like they can make comments about your life and everything. So anytime Ja goes down the street in a sports car, then of course you'll get people yelling at you. So you're in a little bit different circumstance there.
So have you guys felt the pressure of the midlife crisis? Is there anything you've done in the last couple of years that you felt like, I got to get this done, or I got to do it now, or I need this change?
I keep thinking there's a lot of things that I still want to do.
Mm-hmm. I told you I made my list after we had Lou Holtz on.
You made your bucket list.
I made a bucket list of, okay, these are things I want to do before I kick it.
Apparently going to tea parties is one of them, because you've been to so many of these tea parties.
But, you know, I've been, you know, just like the band thing that I've been kind of messing around with, that was just something, I never did it. I mean, we had Pegasus when I was in high school, but we never really took off.
The gayest name for Pegasus.
And so, but it's been fun, though. You know, I enjoy going out and doing that every once in a while.
And Mike has his band that he enjoys. I think that kind of stuff is great.
It's been fun.
All right, to Dave in Louisville, you're on the ticket.
Users.
Dave.
I am turning 40 this year, and I have been totally trying to buy a sports car.
Are you trying to?
Well, you know, just trying to figure out how to convince the wife, hey, we got to get rid of the sedan, and how to figure out how to make my life work in two seats, which is like a huge difference. Driving a sedan every day. And
you got kids?
Yeah. Teenagers.
Yeah, you're stuck.
You got teenagers, though.
Oh.
You can just throw them in the trunk.
Or just wait until they graduate here in a couple of years. Wayne in Gun Barrel City. You're on the ticket.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I think midlife crisis, whether it's a male or a female, are pretty much directly related to people giving up and quitting after they get into a marriage or a relationship. You know, a guy marries a woman with beautiful long hair, in shape, likes sex, has fun, compliments her husband. 10 years down the road, she's got her hair cut and a boy's regular haircut. Gained some weight, let herself go, and doesn't want to go or do anything. And the same token for men. Men sit on the couch with a beer gut and a cold beer and won't go anywhere or do anything. And that's when the other one has a quote-unquote midlife crisis.
So you're affected by what your spouse says. I think there is some of that, but I think a lot of it is just how you feel about yourself.
Well, they say that people have affairs not so much because of how they feel about themselves as how the other person makes them feel. I mean, they're new to someone again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in a marriage, you know, you just become the same old thing. You've heard, oh, God, he's going to tell this story at a party again. I've heard this one a million freaking times.
You have to ride it out.
Yeah, you have to ride it out at the party. You know, you just... you just know all the moves. You know what they're going to say in every circumstance and everything. And so then you get to be someone new to someone, and that other person gets impressed with you and that sort of thing. I think that's why many people have affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Is they feel new again, and it is a rebirth, and all of a sudden they feel alive, and all of a sudden they are the mule that's popped its head up, and wow, there's more going on here than this one road that I'm going down.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more. Mike, north of the red, you're on the ticket.
Hello, musers.
Hey.
Hey, I kind of want to echo what Gunbarrel City Man said there, that I think it's after either the husband or the wife. You know, they've been married for 10, 15 years. They quit having the sexual relations in the bedroom and stuff. So the man, in someone like mine case, you have to find something to replace that excitement and that fun. So you want to go get you a Harley, or you want to get you a sports car. You want to do something that gives you that rush and that feeling that sex used to.
All right, is it because you want a new rush, or is it because the Harley or the sports car might attract the opposite sex?
No, for me, it's just I would love to have a Harley, and that it was what would excite me and get on the road, and it's something you can do with your other guy friends, you know, your buddies. You can take a long trip and just forget about everything that you're not getting at home and just replace that with the Harley or with the Corvette whatever.
So the last couple of callers have said basically what we've always said about any subject that comes back to the pants.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting theory this guy's hit upon, is that these new experiences that produce the rush of excitement, perhaps it's sort of an ersatz infatuation, that we're all addicted to the drug of infatuation just biochemically as mating animals.
Mm-hmm.
We love the rush of new love. You've known women like this who just always have to have a new guy, and they have tons of drama with that new guy and everything because they're addicted to the rush of infatuation.
Right.
And perhaps these experiences that we go out and do is to try to replace that. Since we know we're in a stable, long-term marriage, you go out and get a Harley or you're parachuting and everything in order to try to recreate just the chemical rush of new excitement.
There's some of that, but there's also, after a while, I think the guy thinks, you know what, I'm just tired of being practical all the time.
Yeah.
I'm tired of just buying this practical thing, and well, that's practical for a family. And I can't do this because that just wouldn't be practical.
But isn't that what carefree mating is? It's the impractical. The carefree mating is impractical, and it's, you know, what's practical is a stable, solid, plodding marriage that goes on, and you each mutually support each other and that sort of thing. And he wants impracticality. He wants pinning her up against the stall of a restroom.
All right, that's a good way to end midlife crisis talk.
That's a good way to end.
It is 836 on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket looks like Jason Kidd will.